Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. It's the end of April. It's the end. One more day. Boy, that was a fast month. Happy May. May and October are my favorite months of the year. And aside from the fact that October has Halloween and May is my birthday, it goes beyond that. Because I was thinking about it yesterday as I was thinking about, the show and what I wanted to talk about. But really and truly, if you think about it, May is the perfect spring month. May, I think, epitomizes spring. Because at least here in Colorado, I have to speak from where I am. And my observation, obviously, my truth. Here in Colorado, we have seasons. And April, March 21st, around March 21st or so, is the beginning of spring. But it's still cold and ugly here. I mean, nothing's coming up. It's just kind of blah. And then through the month of April, things get better. But May, I mean, flowers, I know it's May's a couple days away, but just in the past week, probably, flowers are exploding. I mean, they're just exploding. My peonies have, I don't even know how many blooms, little buds on them, not blooms yet, but little buds on the top of my peony out front. And it's just beautiful. And like I mentioned last week that I had my yard, the beds cleared out so I could really see what was there. And between last week and this week, so much more stuff has come to the surface and more flowers are blooming. And it's just beautiful. So May is spring. Because then when we move into June, temperatures start getting warmer. And that's the other thing I like about May. And we've had snow in May before. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. But the temperatures are lovely. And that is motivating to me to go out and work in the yard, to pull weeds. And plus it's new, right? When something's new, the garden is new again, the thick green grass is new again now in the spring. So, and that's probably just the energy of spring too, just new life showing up. So that's inspiring and exciting and really does make me want to go out and work out there and see, move the weeds, move the grass. Grass kind of takes over in the flower beds and just see what really is there. And see what space I have to work with. So it's very inspiring it gets my creative juices flowing, I guess is the easiest way to say it. And so instead of planting in the ground, I've ordered a few planters and I'm really excited to get those here and then plant flowers in them that bunnies can't jump into and eat, for one thing. And number two, not depending on the soil, which is very clay-like. So it seems at this point, unless something is really established, like my irises are totally established and I have ground cover established in different places. But it's just not for the faint of heart plant-wise, I mean, they've got to be pretty sturdy and hardy in order to grow in that soil because it's hard, But anyway, blank spaces can be filled in with raised flower beds. And so that's what I ordered. So I'm excited about that. And certainly nothing gets planted around here and flower-wise. If you buy flowers, you don't plant them until at least after Mother's Day and really probably later in the month is better because you don't know. We don't know. We do get snow in May. We do get freezes in May. But there's more life and color. And, again, we're right in the middle between cold and hot temperatures. So it's a perfect spring month. It really is. And October is the perfect fall month for the same reasons, only in reversed, you know? I mean, it's beautiful. It's not quite cold yet, but it's not hot. And that's the other thing about, you know, about fall. I just remember, and I know I tell this story every fall, and I'm like a season ahead of myself, two seasons ahead of myself. But I remember getting school clothes, you know, before school started at the beginning of September, and just really wanted to wear my school clothes. And it was still 80 degrees outside. So, you know, it's sort of the same thing. But October is the epitome of fall, because it's that transition in temperatures, and then the colors are absolutely beautiful. You know, really beautiful. The trees are changing, and you can just feel that absolute undeniable change. And which is why I love spring and fall. But anyway, right now I'm you know, just excited about what's going on outside. I finished my spring cleaning inside, so I'm ready to move outdoors and see what I can create out there with the stuff I've ordered. And I'm really excited today because I've got a new little patio set. It's a little love seat, two chairs and a coffee table. And it was delivered last night and should be really easy. It needs to be put together, but it should be very, very simple. And I think I'll probably do that this afternoon. But I'm excited about it because I had a patio set out there. But, you know, like my bed before I got my new quilt was four shades of gray. The patio furniture and the pergola and the cover for the pergola are all gray. And I'm just over gray. I'm just so over gray. I can't do anything about the pergola because it's metal, but it's nice. So I ordered a beige or khaki colored pergola cover. And this little patio set is a tan wicker. They call it wicker. It's a faux wicker, vinyl wicker, whatever they make it out of. Chairs, and that's the structure of the chairs, with black cushions. So I think it should look pretty cool, and with the brighter colors, just be livelier out there. I do have a big table and chairs that are gray and kind of tan. We've had those for years. We bought them when we did the remodel and did the landscaping, which is in 2020 when we did the landscaping. So they've been out there for a while, and I just have a really bright, like peridot green umbrella that I put in the middle of that table. And then I have, you know, cool little things out there that are colorful. So I think it's just going to give it a lift. It's just going to give it such a lift to have different colors out there aside from gray. So actually, I've been just kind of looking at this blank slate of a patio, which is right off my office. So I see it constantly because I gave away the patio set that I did have last fall to the veterans, to Vietnam vets. So I've had this blank space. So I'm just really excited to see something in it, you know, to really create a lovely seating area. And, you know, there'll be a couple planters in the large bed next to the patio too. So that'll be, I think this is fun. This is fun. And I think once I got past the fact that, you know, the bunnies ate all my stuff last year, then what you do is you make something bunnies can't climb up into, or you get something bunnies can't climb up into. And that should mean that flowers are going to grow all summer once I figure out what kind of flowers to put in. But I love a project. I love a project. And I'm ready for the outside because the weather's nice for yard work and the inside is done. So it's the logical next step. But anyway, after all that big long thing, happy May. That was what started that. I'm thinking, how did I get off on that? Happy May. May is a beautiful month. But enough of that. Enough of that. Thank you again for listening today. If you can, please join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment, and I'll answer them after the show through the chat room. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 1-2-listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning, Pacific, into the evening if you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm on a call, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately and I will get back to you as soon as I can. And if you schedule a call, I will always do my best to meet your schedule. And, you know, just a reminder on 1-2-listen, we have reduced rates a few times a week, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 1-2-listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. I still have my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session going. And since we are in the height of spring, you know, that there's just more energy now than there was at the beginning, I think. It's just all about newness. It's about taking advantage of that beautiful, lively, forward motion energy that is springtime. And the purpose of this time-based session is just to release limitations, release stuff that gets stuck in our way, that beliefs, expectations, beliefs and expectations are just, you know, referencing what's happened in the past. You know, well, I'd like to do that, but the last time I tried, you know, getting rid of that, because all of that has nothing to do with the present moment. And the only thing that is the present moment. And right now, the present moment is full of spring. And so, you know, by releasing those old things that you know, block our flow, you know, logs in our stream, so to speak, we can be available to new opportunities, to just excitement, to just being in it and feeling God, you know, feeling source when you walk outside or when you see flowers or, you know, just anything beautiful. And also, you know, being available to see beautiful things, right? When our vision is skewed by old limiting, restrictive beliefs and energy, then we're not seeing what is. We're just referencing the past, typically. And we get stuck in the prison of past conditioning. That's a Chopra statement. But we do. So it's only, we can only change if we want to. And this is a great little session to release stuff that could just open the door to a lot more joy. The You Empowered Intuitive Feng Shui classes are all available at email-based services on my bio page at 1-2-listen.com. And those are pretty inspiring for springtime, I must say. And they are all there. So you can pick one or all four if you would like to listen to them and make some changes in your house. Anything you move around, any changes you make, create momentum. They just create momentum. And then you can jump on that wave and just ride it and see where it might take you. You know, it's expansive. And that's what we want, expansive energy and to be a part of that and to let that flow through us. And that's a lot about what I want to talk about today. So I also want to remind you of the gratitude board on 1-2-listen.com. You just post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not. And the advisors of 1-2-listen will add our intention to yours. We moderate that board 24/7. And so why not? You can post anonymously. So why not? And I want to thank you again for listening. However, whenever you do, there is programming on 1-2-radio.com 24/7. And there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section of 1-2-radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. You need a little inspiration. You want to listen to somebody you don't listen to all the time. Go do it. Just grab a download. See what's new. You know, see what someone else's passion is. You know, it may strike a chord with you. It might not. But you don't know unless you check, right? So 1-2 Radio really is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So again, I encourage you to take advantage. And right now, I just want to say thank you to Serena for producing the show today and for all she does for us on 1-2 Radio. And we're going to move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Radha Pranam by Jaya Lakshmi. And this is from the Buddha Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. And it's just lovely. So enjoy it. I think it's a great segue into the teaching segment. I'll be back right after you listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I'm very happy to be with you today.
Shuja Keshava Shri Radha Madhava Jaya Jaya Vrindavaneshwari
Ashuja Keshava Shri Radha Madhava Jaya Jaya Vrindavaneshwari
Ashuja Keshava Shri Radha Madhava Jaya Jaya Vrindavaneshwari
Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that song. I just thought it was really beautiful. I love her voice. And as I said, I think it was a nice segue into the teaching segment. So what I want to talk about today and pull from, you know, a couple heavy hitters, Joel Goldsmith and Deepak Chopra. Boy, I'm telling you, last week grabbing that, Chopra's book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, off my bookshelf. I used to read something from that book, a couple of pages every day, you know, just every day, and listen to a lot of his tapes. And so grabbing it again was really, really lovely. It's like meeting an old friend, right? One of my foundational teachers, definitely, and foundational books, and going back because I haven't read it in a long time, and having it unfold in a different way because I'm different. You know, it's different because I'm different, and I can have it in a different way, in a more expanded way, because I've grown a lot over all the years since it was my mainstay, so to speak. One of them, I should say, not my only one. But anyway, what I want to talk about is, you know, I was listening to one of Joel's tapes, and he talks about, you know, when Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you, and it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, the kingdom of heaven is everything, you know, infinite allness. It's everything. And Joel was talking about that. And he said that when he first became aware of that, he went into a meditation and just asked the question, what is the kingdom of heaven within? Or the kingdom of God? It's also the kingdom of God within. And so he said that the kingdom of God is the realm, awareness, or consciousness of God, the consciousness of God within you, the true consciousness of your infinite self. And through meditation and practicing the presence, we get into that consciousness. We get into it. And that's exactly it. We get into it. Quiet in a meditation, just being quiet, listening, feeling the presence of spirit, the movement of spirit. We get into it. It wraps itself around us. That's how it feels to me. And Joel said, you know, having achieved God or the consciousness of God, all things are added. God is the substance of this universe, and we cannot acquire anything without the substance of which it is made, which is God. He said, everything answers and responds to God, the substance of everything. All things are forms of consciousness and are subject to the consciousness that formed them, which is God. Prosperity of mind, soul, body, and purse, all is spiritual. And that brings me back to one of the most powerful statements that I've ever read, and I did many teaching segments on it, which is, the only demonstration we have to make is God. That's it. And we demonstrate God through allowing, you know, again, practicing that presence opens us up, and then the kingdom and all good, the good that we're looking for, supply, flows through us. You know, but I thought about him saying, you know, I just went into a meditation and asked a question. You know, we can do that. We can go into a meditation and just ask, I don't know, you know, what is this? What does this mean? Can you show this to me? Or you take a verse, or you take something a verse from the Bible, a principle, and you just go in and you just sit with it. And you ask a question, and you just sit and listen and feel whatever comes up in your consciousness, you know, in your body as a feeling or in your consciousness can come in words, as words, pictures. I mean, spirit speaks through imagination and play. Spirit speaks through many different ways. So when we're in a meditation, the best thing we can do is just be open and available, not expecting things to come in any particular way, just being there, being in awareness, listening, being quiet, getting out of the thinking mind by maybe by listening to with our physical ears until we just get to that blank space where we're not thinking. We've just stepped out of our conscious mind. Thoughts might fly through, but we're not paying attention to them. We're available. We're available. So, you know, thinking about that, I went into, in one of my meditations, it was like, I don't know how to demonstrate God. I don't know. I don't know. But again, my favorite go-to is, I don't know, but that which lives me, which is God, does know. So again, that gives you another avenue for just being, for allowing, for being the conduit, the inlet and outlet of source. So I asked, and it was interesting because in that meditation, I received loud and clear three words. One is love, the second one was give, and the third one was rest. So that's what I want to explore. That's what I want to talk about today. Those three words, the kingdom of God first. First, I want to expand on the consciousness of God, which is the kingdom of God within. So, Chopra's Introduction to the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success is a brilliant, is just brilliant. He wrote, before defining the seven spiritual laws, let us understand the concept of law. Law is the process by which the unmanifest becomes the manifest. It is a process by which the observer becomes the observed. It is a process by which the seer becomes the scenery. It is the process through which the dreamer manifests the dream. All of creation, everything that exists in the physical world, is a result of the unmanifest, transforming itself into the manifest. Everything that we behold comes from the unknown. Our physical body, the physical universe, anything and everything that we can perceive through our senses is the transformation of the unmanifest, unknown, and invisible into the manifest, known, and visible. The physical universe, and this is the most powerful thing, listen to this, the physical universe is nothing other than the self, capital S, curving back within itself to experience itself as spirit, mind, and physical matter. In other words, all processes of creation are processes through which the self or divinity expresses itself. Consciousness in motion expresses itself as the objects of the universe in the eternal dance of life. The source of all creation is divinity, or the spirit. The process of creation is divinity in motion, or the mind. And the object of creation is the physical universe, which includes the physical body. These three components of reality, spirit, mind, and body, or observer, the process of observing, and the observed, are essentially the same thing. They all come from the same place, the field of pure potentiality, which is pure, purely unmanifest. The physical laws of the universe are actually this whole process of divinity in motion, or consciousness in motion. Joel wrote in The Heart of Mysticism, realize that God constitutes individual being. You are the Word made flesh, self, capital S, maintained and self-sustained. Realize this for every individual identity, human, animal, vegetable, or mineral. I behold only the Father appearing as all life. The Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, divine consciousness, all that is. And all that is emanates and flows from that one infinite divine Father consciousness. There is no power in any form of creation. The power always remains in the consciousness that formed it. God constitutes individual being, my being and your being. Need I fear for you or for me or for anyone? Is there any power in heaven or on earth or in hell that can injure or harm the beloved Son of God? No, I am one with the Father. I am the Word made flesh. My body is the Word made flesh. My business is the Word made flesh. My spiritual activity is the Word made flesh. My bank account is the Word made flesh. My friendships are the Word made flesh. Everything that concerns me is the Word made flesh. And that Word, which made it flesh, maintains and sustains it. And I have no personal responsibility. And that if you honestly, I'm trying to put into words what I feel, which is like my chest is going to explode. That is so powerful. And we do have no personal responsibility. You know, we don't. That which lives us, that self, that infinite self, is responsible for us. It is a maintaining, sustaining, governing, and discerning principle of us. And whatever we need, we have. But going out and, excuse me, trying to make something happen, struggling for something, is pushing against it. It's constantly in flow, And we either allow that flow or we block that flow by thinking we know better or we have to do something. You know, Exodus 14:13, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, that's it. That's it. And that's the hardest thing for us to do because we want to control. We want to control. We think we know what's best for us. We think we know what we should have, what we should do. And you know, every good desire is given us by God. Because again, it's God becoming more of God through and as us. We're it. We're the instrument here in the physical plane. But to just really honestly get the fact that it lives us. You know, the self of me lives me. And, you know, it is the thing that beats our hearts, that hears through our ears, sees through our eyes, grows our hair, grows our fingernails, that we do not think about, right? And we don't question whether that's going to happen. It is life living us, life without end or opposite. It is life. And we can depend on it like we depend more than we depend on anything else. And when we realize that, that's when we see things happen. When we don't depend on anyone or anything outside of us, to include how smart we are you know, and what we can figure out and the best way to do things. Because, you know, all we have in our human consciousness is a reference. You know, it's a reference to what's happened in the past, to what somebody else did or said, to, you know, it's all been and done, so to speak. So what is now, is the present moment. That is pure potential, pure love, pure God. And the more time we spend there, the more full our life is. But, you know, again, we want what we want. We want what we want. And, you know, if God's not going to move fast enough and give it to us, we'll figure out a way to get it. But it's just kind of an interesting thing. And giving up that surrender, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. I don't know. But that which lives in me does. I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility to that which lives me. It's Florence Scovel Shin. I cast the burden of whatever it is on the Christ within, and I go free. And we truly go free. And we not only go free from that burden, but we go free to be the channel through which the answer comes. It's just a fabulous thing. So I got a little off my track there, but everything that we need, every single thing we could ever need or want, number one, we couldn't want it if it weren't within us. We couldn't. You know, that which we seek, we already are. And we are self-maintained, self-sustained. So there is nothing missing in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven within. So how we open ourselves to that and how that expresses through us is, you know, those three words: give, love, rest. So give. Let's talk about giving first. Joel said, since God is the self of me, then my supply is already established within me. And I must not look externally for supply. I must not look for it to come to me. I must begin to live with the idea that it is already at the center of my being, that I must open out a way for it to flow. Whatever flows out from you does not lessen what you have. And that was from his tape called The Self. Chopra wrote, the second spiritual law of success is the law of giving. This law could also be called the law of giving and receiving, because the universe operates through dynamic exchange. Nothing is static. Nothing is static. That's a good thing to take into meditation. That's a great statement. Nothing is static. Nothing. Your body is in dynamic and constant exchange with the body of the universe. Your mind is dynamically interacting with the mind of the cosmos. Your energy is an expression of cosmic energy. The flow of life is nothing other than the harmonious interaction of all the elements and forces that structure the field of existence. This harmonious interaction of elements and forces in your life operates as the law of giving, because your body and your mind and the universe are in constant and dynamic exchange. Stopping the circulation of energy is like stopping the flow of blood. Whenever blood stops flowing, it begins to clot, to coagulate, to stagnate. That is why you must give and receive in order to keep wealth and affluence or anything you want in life circulating in your life. Money is really a symbol of life energy. We exchange the life energy we use as a result of the service we provide to the universe. We exchange, and the life energy we use as a result of the service to the universe. So we get it because we've worked, and then it moves out because we need to live, right? If you didn't pay for your groceries, if you didn't pay for your house, I mean, it's a flow, it's a circle. In fact, the root words of both affluence and currency mean to flow. So that's interesting. He writes, therefore, if we stop the circulation of money by holding on to it, we will stop its circulation back into our lives as well. In order to keep that energy coming in, we have to keep the energy circulating. Like a river, money must keep flowing, otherwise it begins to stagnate, to clog, to suffocate, and to strangle its very own life force. Circulation keeps it alive and vital. Every relationship is one of give and take. Giving engenders receiving, and receiving engenders giving. What goes up must come down. What goes out must come back. In reality, receiving is the same thing as giving, because giving and receiving are different aspects of the flow of energy in the universe. And if you stop the flow of either, you interfere with nature's intelligence. Now that's a hello, isn't it? Receiving is as important as giving. Receiving is the other side of the circle. And think about that. You know, it's just think about that. It's easy to give. You give because it feels good to give. But sometimes it's really hard to receive. What's behind it? You know, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity. When we have difficulty receiving, or when we even have difficulty asking for help, it's really important to look at that and see what's the belief at the bottom of this. Because you know through giving that when someone receives what you give, that's where the delight comes from for the giver, right? So it really, I understand what he's saying, that giving and receiving are the same thing. But I really, you know, I encourage you to look at that if you have difficulty receiving. And I think a lot of us do, and I think especially women. So that's a good thing. And again, get in a meditation and just ask the question. What is at the bottom? What do I believe? What is the belief at the bottom of my inability to receive? Or my, you know, what is it? Is it unworthiness? Is it, you know, deserving? Because as far as God's concerned, he doesn't know anything about unworthiness or deserving, because God is you, right? And that's the kingdom of heaven within you. And in order to, you know, complete that circle of giving, you have to receive. So that's just interesting. That's really interesting. So I had to take a little step out and mention that. If you stop the flow of either giving or receiving, he wrote, you interfere with nature's intelligence. Yeah, worth a ponder, for sure. He goes on to say, practicing the law of giving is actually very simple. If you want joy, give joy to others. If you want love, learn to give love. If you want attention and appreciation, learn to give attention and appreciation. If you want material affluence, help others to become materially affluent. In fact, the easiest way to get what you want is to help others get what they want. And that's, well, silly to say it this way, but that's really true. That's really true. Because you, like attracts like. So whatever it is, I remember Eckhart Tolle said that, you know, whatever it is you want, give it. Simply put, give it. And it just requires consciousness. You know, it requires consciousness. And again, getting out of that human mind of what I need, what I want, that, and realizing that everything you could possibly need and what you can't even really truly imagine exists within you. So how do I give that to someone else? How do I give that? That's just a beautiful thing to just keep in our consciousness and to practice. That's really a practice. So now, love falls in here. So what he was talking about, in other words, is the concept of being the inlet and outlet of supply. Supply is what is needed when it's needed. Money, yes, but also love, appreciation, a good idea, a creative idea, whatever you need, a quiet space, a nap, whatever it is that you need. It's just being the inlet and outlet, not interfering, just kind of declaring yourself in. And, you know, as I said, it's not just money, but it's grace. You know, grace. The verse in the Bible says, "My grace is sufficient unto thee," because grace is everything. Everything. We can be the inlet and outlet of grace, God's grace, infinite divine wisdom, infinite divine love, an infinite divine supply, and all that they encompass. And all we are doing is just being, we're declaring ourselves in, surrendering to that grace to flow through us. And that is the inlet and outlet. That is giving and receiving those things. You know, being willing to give, to serve, to share, to just share. And then, you know, open to whatever comes back. It doesn't stop. You know, it doesn't stop. It's a constant flow. You know, and I do think that giving and love go together. Because when we truly give from the infinite storehouse within, and let me see if I can put this in right words, or explain it better. I know what I'm trying to say, and it's more a feeling than it's like, you know, you give, just say in your journey of giving, let's put it that way. You know, we give to people close to us, and that's good. But when we give to places and people that we don't know, that's a little more expansive, right? When we tithe to a ministry or to, you know, just to some place where we get fed. Or when we just give donations, when we donate to nonprofits or charities, that's a little more expansive because we are giving to someone who needs that help that we don't know personally. It's a lot easier to give to somebody we know personally when we first start out in giving. But then we know that by giving, you feel it. You feel more expansive. You feel love. When you give, you feel love. If you're giving out of love. But if you're giving in order to get, then it's counterproductive. It's counterproductive. But when we start out giving, you know, in the beginning, when we first learn about that, that's usually where we're coming from. And I'm just saying that that's usually where we're coming from. That's not a judgment. It just is a statement based on my personal experience. But when that changes, when you continue to give and you feel the love, you're giving because of love, because you want to support and because you want to serve. And all of a sudden that changes, that you are giving for the good of those that you give to. That's love. That's love. And it does, you know, it keeps abundance flowing, but that's love and that's a shift. And that just makes everything you give delightful, delightful. Joel said, love is not something we express, but that only God expresses. If we face life without judgment, then we begin to be an instrument for love. Love unfolds naturally as we demonstrate God. We really do begin, another thing, another bonus, is we begin to see God in everyone and in every living thing. And everything just, it looks bigger and more beautiful. And we become more conscious of our interactions with others. And we expect better. The last one I want to get to in the last few minutes is rest. Rest, also known as detachment. Isaiah 30:15, in returning and rest is my salvation. In quietness and confidence is my strength. Chopra wrote, "The sixth spiritual law of success is the law of detachment. In order to acquire anything in the physical universe, you have to relinquish your attachment to it. This doesn't mean you give up the intention to create your desire. You don't give up the intention, and you don't give up the desire. You give up your attachment to the result." Joel said, "The minute you stop chasing the thing you desire, it chases you." As I said a while ago, every good desire is given us by God, our infinite self. And just back to Chopra's beautiful words that just knocked me out. The physical universe is nothing other than the self curving back within itself to experience itself as spirit, mind, and physical matter. In other words, all processes of creation are processes through which the self or divinity expresses itself. Consciousness in motion expresses itself as objects of the universe in the eternal dance of life. That is the infinite all. Wanting to become more of itself in, as, and through us, through the flow, the outward flow of the kingdom of heaven within us. So being attached to any result blocks that flow. It just blocks it. And it brings up resistance. Because again, we want the thing we want. And we don't know humanly what's best for us. We have no idea. We only know humanly what we've experienced and what someone else's and what we've seen. You know, input, feedback. So rest is to surrender to the wisdom of the infinite self. Giving and loving are huge and important. Rest is faith and surrender. In other words, the three of them work together. The three of them support and expand each other. Rest is synonymous with detachment and surrender. It's the peace that passes understanding. And the peace that passes understanding when you're in that meditation or when you're just spending some time with God, that peace that comes over is incredible. That is God. That's the movement of spirit. And that is the substance of our supply, which is everything, including love and giving and everything. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. We are listening to Empowerment here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world. I wish you a very, very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye, everyone.